morning and welcome to Calvary. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson and I will be your servant today. How great it is to be in the house of the Lord, worshiping together in fellowship and unity. Thank you all so much for being here today. I appreciate all of you and love you and really just feel overcome by your commitment and love for this church at Calvary. And speaking of Calvary, I want to remind you what our cross is here that we started on Ash Wednesday for the season of Lent. We took a plain white cross and put our fingerprints on it that had ashes on our fingerprints to signify that Christ takes our brokenness on himself on the cross for us. And that's what we concentrate on during the season of Lent, is what Christ did for us on the cross. And another week from now, we'll begin Holy Week, and we have the services that you'll notice that are inserted in your bulletin for Holy Week and Easter, and I hope you'll take a look at that. I also wanted to remind you that this month, April, has five Sundays. So what do we do on the fifth Sunday? Potluck. Yes, that's right. We have potluck. But there's another thing we're going to do on this Sunday. We're going to do a Bring a Friend Day. Bring a friend. Not friend. Bring a friend day. And it doesn't mean our youth director, because there's only one of him, and he couldn't go around that many times. But each one of you are invited to bring a friend, a relative, an acquaintance, or a neighbor. And we're going to have them as a part of our worship service and include them in the potluck. And so it'll be a wonderful way for us to spread our message. So you have a job to do on the fifth Sunday in addition to the potluck, and that's bring a friend. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see all of you out there in the congregation this morning. It's a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. My name is Rhonda Barlow, and I am your liturgist for today. It would have been Robin, but Robin and Jamie are out of town for today, so I'm filling in for her. There are announcements, of course, you know, in your bulletin. I'm going to let you peruse that later on as to some of the other things that are going on. But pay close attention to the events that are happening on your little blue sheet here. It's got the Easter egg hunt on the 8th, which I'm looking forward to because I'm doing the storytelling that day. Woohoo! But there, again, there are other services here at the church. There are the times for those services. So I would maybe take this and tack it up next to your calendar or whatever so you can remember all the different things that are going on. Also, too, Pastor Esther spoke about Easter lilies. There isn't an insert here in the bulletin, but if you want Easter lilies, all you need to do is call the office and speak to Sue or someone, and they will handle it for you. And let's see here if there's anything else. Oh, I wanted to bring a little attention to the salty service cards. If any of you work with the food pantry, the Love Bugs, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, mission projects of the church, that's when you're going to put that salty service card in the offering plate. Used to, the definition was different, but now the definition has changed. So just, you know, if you work in any of those type of missions of the church, please put that salty service card in the offering plate as it goes around. And then I believe Pastor Esther has an announcement for us.
I want to thank everybody for participating in the town hall meetings that we had two Sundays ago in preparation for a vote that our council took on last Sunday, and the vote was taken to stay the same. 8:30 service at 8:30 with Sunday school from 9:30 to 10:30, and the 11 o'clock service at 11 o'clock. So nothing changes. That was the vote that was taken, and I wanted you all to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Are there any other announcements for this morning? Okay, if we could open up our bulletin to the back, to the opening words. Okay, all right. Okay, thank you, Karen. Thank you very much, Karen. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life.
Those who believe in Christ, though they die, will live.
Everyone who lives and believes in Christ will never die.
We believe in the Messiah, the Son of God.
Christ has come into our world.
Christ has died.
Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Let us worship the living Christ,
who is the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to page 261 in your hymnals, we will sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Lord of the Dance.
Bye.
verse 2.
I dance for the scribe and the Pharisee. They would not dance and they would not follow me. I dance for the fishermen, for James and John. They came to me and the dance went on.
Dancing wherever you may be.
I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you on. Wherever you may be, and I'll lead you on in the dance, said he.
Verse 4. Please be seated.
Do the children want to come up?
All right. That's wonderful. How's everybody doing today? Listen, I'm going to have to hide this. Because it's for later. It's for later. Right now, I want you to listen to me. Okay, boys and girls. Now, I'm going to show you something, and I know that all of you know what it is, so I don't want you to yell it out. I want you to quietly look at this picture, and then I'm going to ask if somebody knows what this is. But don't yell until I ask. Okay, can you look at this and see? Can you see this? Just take a look at it. Can you see that? What's that? Can somebody? Okay, who's going to tell me then? Why don't you tell me? It's a recycling sign. Yes. So I bet all of you recycle at home. What do you recycle? What are the things you recycle?
Cans.
Cans. That'll work. What, Zachary? Paper, bottles, what else?
Plastic.
Okay, yes. Sometimes cardboard. It depends, doesn't it? What about you? That's what you were going to say? Somebody at the first service said, what do we recycle? And she said, everything. Do we recycle everything? We recycle what? We recycle everything. And guess what? We have a story today in our scripture passage about God recycling a human being. Lazarus was raised from the dead, and he had new life. Yes, he came back because Jesus asked him to, and Jesus is the Son of God. He said, Lazarus was in his tomb, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. And Lazarus had new life from that point on. God can make, my friends, anything new. God can recycle us and make us new people. So aren't you glad about that? Okay. All right, sweetheart. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you, God, that you gave us such a precious gift in this life that begins now but extends into eternal life. And for this, we are eternally grateful. Amen. Amen. Now I can show you the candy. Now we can look at the candy. You're welcome. Get one, sweetie.
get it? We continue to worship and serve our God this morning with the presentation of our tithes and offerings. If the ushers would please come forward. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have given us this wonderful gift, and we pray that we will continue to be your people called in this time and this place to spread your good news with all that we are and all that we have. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. So we don't really need that one, huh? Okay.
Jesus, me don't know what to do. could have no peace of mind. Your name I keep on calling, like a melody so sweet. If I touch the hem of your garment, my life will be complete. Speak it to me, Lord Jesus, we need to hear from you. If you don't speak, Lord Jesus, we don't know what to do. Speak it to me, Lord Jesus, we need to hear from you. If you don't speak, Lord Jesus, we don't know what to do. Speak to me. Oh, speak to me. Speak to me. Talk to me. Talk with me. Walk with me. Hallelujah. 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 Speak to me, Lord Jesus. We need to hear from you. If you don't speak, Lord Jesus, we don't know what to do. Speak it to me, Lord Jesus. We need to hear from you. If you don't speak, Lord Jesus, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do.
Amen. Amen. Woo! Y'all didn't know we could do reggae, did you?
Yeah. I saw the back row wanting to cha-cha.
Yeah, there. And by the way, that's John Haney on the drums back there. Hey.
Lieutenant.
Okay. And on the piano is Grandpa Thompson. Would you turn with me to page 7 and 8 in your hymn books as we prepare for the confession and pardon as a prelude to going to the Lord's table? I do want to mention those that are still in our prayers this morning. Rhonda asked that we be in prayer for her. She's got a lot going on in her life, and so we're remembering Rhonda and her family this morning. For her needs. Connie Laurie continues to have many physical problems, and so we're praying for Connie. Don Giles is home from the hospital, recovering at home. He's got a long road ahead of him, recovering from he and his girlfriend Leanne from the motorcycle accident. Merck continues to make improvements in rehab, and Rosemarie is here with us, and so we are rejoicing in that. And know, dear God, that he will work with you. Are there other prayer requests we need to make this morning? I don't know. Oh, okay. Pray for her. Pray for her. Her neighbor, Lisa. Let's make our invitation, or I will make the invitation, and then we will unite together in our confession and pardon. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
Okay, our scripture reading today is out of John 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
About the turn of the last century, not our current one, but the one before, there's this story about a man who died on the prairie. And they had a funeral like they did in those days in his home. And they had people on the porch and standing in the yard. And after the wake and the funeral, they got on this mule-drawn wagon with the coffin lid up. It was open. And the widow climbed onto the wagon and sat next to the undertaker, who was heading up the hill to the family cemetery. Well, the undertaker who drove the wagon went underneath this large oak tree, and the wheel of the wagon bounced on one of the roots of the tree, and all of a sudden, the corpse snorted and sat up. He apparently wasn't dead. He had been in a coma. Some years later, the man died again, and the same scene played out. There was a funeral at his home, and they got into the wagon with the coffin lid open and were going up to the family cemetery. And the widow leaned over and whispered to the undertaker, "Why don't you go around the tree this time?" She didn't want to take any chances. Every time I hear the story of Lazarus, I think of that story because I think about two things. I think about first that there, in both these stories, there was someone who would have preferred the corpse to stay dead. And number two, it always makes me wonder how the deceased felt about coming back to life on earth. As our scripture indicates, some of the people were not happy that Jesus had brought Lazarus back to life. There's a hint of this in verse 37 when it says, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" But in the next few verses that we didn't hear, it gets really heated. Some of the witnesses believed, but others went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. And what follows in verses 47 through 50, which you can read on your own, is a scene of cold political calculation. They cared nothing for the fact that Lazarus had a new lease on life and that he had been restored into his family. No, all they cared about was that Jesus would upset the political and social balance and might frighten the Romans and in the process threaten their own position of wealth and influence. So they decided it was better for him to die than all of us. And so the wheels were set in motion for Jesus' death on the cross. Does Jesus frighten you? Does the gospel of cross of Christ threaten to upset your life? And if it doesn't, you haven't been paying attention either to the gospel or to your life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that when Christ calls us, he bids us come and die. That's meant literally and figuratively. We are called every day to die to selfishness and privilege. We are called to let go of the many ways that we resist Christ by holding on to our dignity and our precious individuality. Christ calls us to drop those things so that our hands will be free to follow Christ in a life devoted to serving others. If that does not frighten us and threaten our sense of security, then we have failed to understand the nature of what it means to be Christian. If we're honest, most of us would rather drive the wagon of our life in a wide loop around that particular tree. We would like to avoid the call that is placed upon our lives of servanthood because it might lead to death. This leads me to my thought about how the deceased may have felt about coming back to life again. From the fact that Jesus loved Lazarus and that both his sisters grieved him when he died and the whole community turned out to mourn with them, we must believe that Lazarus had a pretty good life. He was a good guy. People cared about the fact that he was gone. And given the fact that he appears to be a righteous person, and considering the stories that we know about and have heard about near-death experiences where we see the light at the end of the tunnel waiting for us with this warmth and loving presence there at the end of the tunnel, I imagine that Lazarus was settling in quite nicely to eternity and may not have felt ready to be called back to life. But he gets the call, Lazarus, come out. And instead of being in warmth and light and love, he finds himself back in the cold, dark tomb, bound from head to foot in burial cloth. So I know if it had been me, I would not have been happy about this. Because he will also hear the story of how his good friend Jesus let him die and rot in the grave so that Jesus could demonstrate to others his Son of God healing skills. So I can imagine Lazarus saying, what kind of Messiah is this who will let you die so he can show off? How often have we found ourselves wondering, what in the world is God doing in our lives? What was God thinking? We love God, we trust in God, and we love Jesus, and we trust in Jesus. But the reality is, as it says in the book of Ezekiel, the breath of God, the wind, the Spirit of God blows where it will and when it will, and we are never totally sure when and where that will happen, or where that wind might blow us, and what it might do to us and through us. Just as God used Lazarus to show forth Jesus as the Son of God, God uses us in the same way. And we are often no more aware of it, of what we're doing, and no more responsible for its success than Lazarus was. All we know is that we have received the call, come out. God acts in and through us as God acted in and through Lazarus. So we are bid this day to die and live with Christ. We are called to come out of the dark tomb of our fear and hesitation. We are commanded to unbind ourselves, and we are invited to step out with Jesus and Lazarus and all the saints into that grand adventure that is life after death, an adventure that begins now and continues through eternity. Thanks be to God. Amen. Before he left us, though, he gave us a precious gift. And made some promises to us that he would never leave us, that he would be with us, and that he would send us a comforter. He would send us an advocate, someone who would continue to teach us, someone who would continue to show us the way in all truth through him. When Jesus had a meal with his friends, he took the bread and he blessed and broke it and said, this bread is my body and it is broken for you. When you eat this, remember me.
He also took the cup that night, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of him and be thankful." This body and this blood are gifts to us. We are invited to Christ's table not because we are good, but because God is good. And everyone is invited. You do not have to be a member of this congregation or any congregation, but simply seek God's love in your life in a new way. Every time we rise up from this table, we are new people. God has recycled us and given us new hope and new life. After the choir is served, the ushers will direct you, and you will come and kneel to receive the blessings and gifts of Almighty God.
Thank you.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to 467, we'll sing Trust and Obey.
The theology in some of these old hymns, and today we get a good portion of that. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you. Now and always, go in his peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.